Hey, Magic Makers, listen up. If you are done overcomplicating getting healthy, then I have something for you. My latest mini course, The Healthy Living's Fundamentals, will help you to lead a simple, healthy life without giving up the foods that you love. All right, I see the eye rolls. Okay, maybe I hear the eye rolls. So let's think about it. How many of you have this effed up relationship with your body so that you go off and you're trying to find the hardest thing you can do to prove to yourself that you got this, that you are this badass? Well, hint, hint, you are this badass. So if you're done trying to chase your tail, trying to string 75 hard days together, you're done always feeling hungry, eating less calories than you need to survive on, and if you feel that you have to be perfect to get results, this mini course has your name all over it. The Healthy Living Fundamentals mini course, I spill all the beans, giving you simple strategies to help you become more consistent with your nutrition. All you got to do is go to the link in my bio and boom, you have it. And it will be 5 awesome days where you get a breakdown of how to do it, plus action strategies to add it to your lifestyle right now. Go over, grab it in the show notes, and good luck.
Welcome to the Fit Girl Magic Podcast. If you are ready to find your inner magic, develop great habits, and a rock steady mindset to feel confident, comfortable, and fit in your body, you are in the right place. I am Kim Barnes Jefferson, and I'll be giving you weekly doses of health, fitness, and life tips sprinkled with humor and real talk. If you're ready to be consistent without the stress of perfection, Magic Makers, it's time to slip into your favorite pair of PJs, grab some coffee, kick back, and listen to today's show.
All right, today's iTunes review of the week is brought to you by C. Hayes 77. I am so happy to have found this podcast. I look forward to listening to the new episode every week. I just finished the latest episode on lifting weights and loved it. I listened to it 3 times because it's so informative. I feel like I have a trainer in my ear when I listened and a friend to chat with, along with the things I love, fitness. Oh, thank you so much, C. Hayes. That just fills my heart so full. So anyone else has a review, please absolutely share it with me. I love this and I appreciate every single review that I get. It just melts my heart that I am sharing the information that is going to be helpful for you to make sure that health and fitness is easy for you. Hey, Magic Makers. Today, I spoke with Miss Shannon Connery, and this is what I loved about our conversation with Shannon. She has come up with a method called PACE, and her PACE method, I'm not going to go into it. I've got to listen to the episode to hear all about it. And what attracted me to her and why I thought she would make such a great guest today is that she was like many of us, right? We have a rule book, right? If we follow the rules, we stay safe. The rules give us certainty that we're going to achieve whatever it is that we're looking for to achieve. And as she's following the rule books, one day her husband came home, told her they were broke, and she lost her rule book. She lost her way, and she wasn't sure what to do with it. She had to create a new rule book, and that's where PACE came in. You know, it was no longer trying to keep up with the Joneses. It was no longer creating this facade of life. How could she take this moment and turn it into something, get off that path of always striving and achieving? And that's where PACE comes into it. And what I love also about the PACE is that she's like, you know what, in order for me to have PACE, I have to be in my body, and that involves exercise. And so that's where she and I's our worlds overlapped. And one of the things why I really liked her is because, you know, she has this quote that says, "Happiness, like health, is a choice that relies on everyday behaviors." And so many of us think that happiness and health are outside of us, that we're waiting for this someone's happiness or health to ring our doorbell. And that's not the case. And In our conversation, Shannon unpacks her method, which I think is absolutely fabulous. And listen in and do me a favor, screenshot this. If you've gotten taken anything away from this episode, screenshot it. Make sure you tag myself and Shannon and just let us know what that one takeaway you had from it. I took away several things, but I would love to know what you have taken away from this conversation. Enjoy, Magic Makers.
All right, ladies, we just were having a pre-conversation and Shannon is going to resonate with so many of you. She is a licensed psychologist and she teaches women how to live a healthier and happier life. And I'm not even going to go any further because I'm going to give too much away because I do that all the time. We're just going to start talking because even in our 5-minute pre-call, I was like, some good stuff here. We got to go. So welcome to the show, Shannon.
Oh, but thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited. I've been listening to Fit Girl Magic and I just resonate with lots of the wisdom you give out.
So one of the reasons why Miss Shannon is on the phone with us today is I found her on Instagram and then I go to her website and I'm like, all right, who's this lady? And this is what I read. She said, about a decade ago, my life fell apart. My world fell apart. And she's like, you know, I thought if I was skinnier or happier, had more money, more beautiful. And I'm like, holy shit. These are my people. How many of you have told yourself, if I had blah, 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 you know, my kids always were neat. My house was neat. I had a better car. I had a better job. My whole world would just be a Hallmark movie, right? But and then you get all the things and you look around, and you're like, I'm still fucking unhappy.
Amen.
So that's why I was like, I need her on the show to talk about how do we break out of this cycle?
Yeah. Well, I mean, for your listeners out there, I'll give you a little background. I followed all of those rules. The rule book that women learn unconsciously through media, through commercials, through seeing which girls get to be on magazine covers, which girls are in commercials, who makes it into the movies. There's a rule book and we all know it, even if we haven't, even if we're not conscientious of it. And the rule book says that you need to look a certain way, that skinnier is better than bigger. After we've all watched from this year, certain skin tones are better than others. Big boobs are better than, whatever rule book, we all know what it is, you know? And then the other rule book relates to money, which is that we all want to have it, right? And it's what's so funny. You can ask everybody, everyone knows the research that having more money doesn't make you happy. And I literally think people don't believe it.
No, they don't. It's kind of one of those, like, I'll believe it when I see it kind of thing. So like, I'll prove you wrong. Give me all the money in the world and
I'll be happy with it.
I'll prove to you I'll be happy. Yeah.
Right. And so I was going through life and I knew I loved psychology. So even in grad school, it was the one class I went into and I didn't even have to take notes. I was just mesmerized by what the teacher would say. And I got out and I started working with trauma. And so I was working like after Columbine. So I live in Colorado. Oh. We had the Columbine High School massacre.
Yeah.
I treated a lot of the first responders for trauma and everybody had trauma. And we've had massive shooting after massive shooting in Colorado.
Right.
We just had Boulder. Haven't worked with anybody from Boulder, but after the Aurora movie theater.
Oh yeah.
Working in trauma, I really liked my work life, but the truth was my personal life was falling apart. And I had searched for a partner to provide me with the things, right? I'm getting to be 30. I want to have a baby. I got to have a baby. I mean, that's in the rule book, right?
Right. Yeah.
And then I have to find somebody who could support me financially. And and I didn't have these as thoughts in my head. I want people to know I wasn't like aware that I was compromising. I wasn't compromising. I wasn't listening to that gut feeling.
Right.
That tells you like, girl, maybe you should not marry this person. He just told you that in his past, he has addiction. But I said, oh, that's in the past. This is the wonderful
person. I can change him.
I can change him. I will make him happy. I'm enough. Fast forward two kids. Stuff is off in my marriage. Like I'm I don't feel safe. A lot of the problems when you live with somebody who suffers with addiction, and millions of people suffer with addiction. I'm not alone in being somebody who lived with an addict. But you never feel safe.
Right.
You're almost have the same hypervigilance as somebody with trauma. And right. About 10, 11 years ago, I mean, my world fell apart. I had on the outside would look like a big life. I had a house in the mountains to go skiing. I had a big, giant, beautiful house in the city. I had two kids in private school. I had a personal trainer. I had this, I had that. I worked very part-time. And one day, at Disneyland of all places, my husband at the time sat me down and he said, I just lost my medical license and I'm leaving and I'm going to therapy, inpatient for a long, long time. And you guys will have to go back home. And by the way, there's no money. I can't pay any of the bills that we have on any of the house. I mean, he didn't say it like this. This was all discovered day after day, but
right.
That was my reality. I went from you're married.
Life is good.
Life is good. Even if you don't, you know, even if you're worried he'll relapse, to like, I've got every fear that I had in my head came true in 1 second and my life changed. And I can tell you 10 years later, it's the best thing that ever happened to me, because when you have to face every fear you have, you will learn who you are. You will learn who everybody else is. And you have to dig deep and look at what was I doing. I had to take ownership.
Yeah.
What did I do to create a life that just fell apart?
Yeah.
So that was sort of my history. And so I started really digging into happiness literature. I became really obsessed with happiness. Like, I don't want to do this again. I got to find out who I am, what really makes people happy. Because I had everything. If you asked every 20-year-old girl right now, what do you want? They would have written down my life.
Right.
I want a house, and then I want a second house, and I want extra money, and I want to not have to work. But if I want to work, then that would be great. Maybe I'll work a little bit, and I can be there for my kids. I had everything that you're talking about. I was miserable. There are rule books, and we have to know what the rule books are, and then we have to rip them up and look at every rule and ask, does this rule work for me? Does this rule work for me? And so, I think the work that you had read about and related to is I started to develop a program for myself. And the way it started was I decided I'm going to do something that I have, number one, never thought I could do. And number two, sort of like mocked and thought was ridiculous when my friends would do it, which was running a marathon. I used to think, really? Do you have to go that far? Like, what are you?
Right. Can I run a mile?
Can we just go out and have a run? Do we have to be extreme here, people? And it was fascinating because number one, I couldn't believe the interaction between what I was planning in my head to do and what my body was then capable of doing. And it's the weirdest thing. If you do something that pushes the limits, and I know from you, you do a lot of, or you did, I don't know if you still do, a lot of physical activity.
Right.
And so, you know, the furthest I'd ever gone before that, I think was like 6 miles. So the day I had to do 8, I was like, all right, I planned out the trip. And I did 8, and I was like, at 8, I got to my door, and I could barely like make those last 3 steps. But every week you'd add on, and you could do that, but no more. And I really started to realize what we believe we can do is what we can do.
Right.
And that's not black or white. Obviously, I was training, and I was making that possible. But if you had just said to me, go do 20 miles, I probably would have said, I can't do that. And I wouldn't have been able to. But today, I think maybe if I said to myself, you just go do 15 miles tomorrow, I probably could if I told myself enough times that I could. Anyway, so I started to realize the power of movement. And everybody knows, but I had looked at exercise as a means to a physical result.
Right.
That I wanted to look skinny, so I had to get on the treadmill or the stair stepper, and I started to look at exercise and movement for what it was, which is the thing our bodies are meant to do. You know, and I don't know how your feelings on this, but we have changed society and our bodies are meant to move.
Yes.
And the connection between movement and happiness, lack of movement and anxiety, lack of movement and depression, it's
so intertwined.
It's known. Like, this is not, we're not wondering about this fact anymore.
Right.
If you walk less than 5,000 steps a day, you will have depression and anxiety at levels that people who get over 6,000 steps don't experience. The average person in the world is now getting under 5,000 steps a day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And when I check in with my clients, that's the number one question I ask, steps. And, you know, I was like, well, you know, how can we even bump it up 100 steps a day just so you get, so just to feel what movement is? And I was like, it's literally like two laps around the block could be the difference between 5,000 and 10,000.
Right. So I just, it became so clear to me, and because I was in this space of analysis. So I created this program called PACE. And I'll tell you, the E in PACE is exercise. As part of being happy, non-burned out, you know, women in this world, you have to move your body. I don't care what you do. If you don't like going to the gym and getting on a treadmill, don't go to the gym and get on a treadmill.
Right.
Find some way to move your body with joy. Go outside, go walk, go get those 10,000, do whatever you want to do. You will feel better.
Yes.
Then I started to realize, it came from a place of finally being calm. Mm. You know, I had nothing. This was so funny. I moved into a place that was, I wish you could have seen the difference between the house I'd been living in and the house I had to rent, because I had no money.
Right.
I had a friend who sat me down and I thought, oh my God, how am I going to do this? My kids, what am I going to tell my kids? Should I tell them this? And she said, just name your truth.
Right.
Name your truth and your kids will adapt quickly, because that's what they mean when they say kids are resilient. And so I moved into this house. The woman who was renting it to me came over to get the signed paperwork from my old house. And she walked in the front door and she looked around and she went, oh my God, what happened to you?
Oh. And you're like, just what I needed to hear. Thanks, lady.
Yeah. I will tell you, I lived in this very shabby place. And, but I paid for it with the money I was earning. And I didn't have to watch anyone else who might or might not be using. And I just had to be present. I stopped making beds. My kids and I just started to live in the moment and had fun. My kids would wander around on the roof. We would make potions in the kitchen. And I started to realize that I had been missing out on pleasure.
Yeah.
So the P in PACE is for pleasure. And As a species, we're so wired for pleasure. And for your listeners, I would just say, like, how do you feel when you watch a sunset?
Right.
Like, you're on vacation finally, you're sitting on the beach or the lake or the water or the mountain or whatever, and you're just sitting there maybe with your glass of wine and your partner and you just watch a sunset. That is such, it's so obvious to me, like, that serves nothing to our lives. It doesn't pay our bills. It doesn't,
right.
It doesn't clothe us. And yet we all know, or watching a firework display or laying in a hammock with a book, that is about pleasure. And we are not a culture that values pleasure in America.
No.
And it's the reason so many people are burned out and working too many hours. And I decided to specifically add one thing of pleasure every day. Even if that was like, instead of just drinking my cup of coffee while I was getting ready, going out on my patio and drinking my coffee in the morning and just looking at the garden.
Yeah. I laugh because I have this thing that is like, if I have to get up early in the morning, I always say, I'm like, I need to have one non-interrupted cup of coffee.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
Right. Because it's like, especially like, you know, you get up and you're, you know, running. And I'm like, I just need one uninterrupted cup of coffee and I can do whatever you want me to do. And you're right. Like, as you were talking about sunsets, as I'm watching a sunset or I'm watching a fireworks display or I'm not list making, I'm like, oh, I should be doing something else. Like, I'm in the moment. I'm looking at the sunset and I'm just like, wow, that's beautiful.
I think you nailed it. I really do think you nailed it. That when I think of like, what does pleasure do for us? It brings us to the present moment. when you're getting a massage, you are not making your to-do list. If you are, no. You do not have the right massage person.
Right, right. You're doing it wrong. I don't believe in right and wrong, but you're doing it wrong.
You are doing it wrong. Yeah. If you're like, oh, I don't want to have sex with my partner. You're doing it wrong. Like there are things our bodies respond to with pleasure if we show up and we are present and whatever. So that was the P. So I'm just learning and I'm researching and I'm like, okay, yes, we do have a biological connection to pleasure. So pleasure, the second thing is accomplishment. Mm. And this is something that, look, we're a culture of accomplishment. We're a culture that has sayings like, you can sleep when you die.
Yes.
You know, like go, 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 like just live it. You know, it's like the more, the better. And it's hand in hand with money, right? Because there's a perception, the more we're doing, the more we're earning, the more we're earning, the more we have. And so there's a couple things I learned about accomplishment. And so for all the people listening out there, number one, I enjoyed work, but I hadn't really let myself understand that, because in my family of origin, there was a rule that if you can afford to stay home with your children, you should. And it doesn't matter, because you know only mothers are going to give the best care to their kids, and
right.
should all those shoulds that drive me crazy now. But so I was staying home for the most part with my kids and working only a little bit when they were at school. And the truth was, I loved work. Mm. It filled me up. And when I had a really powerful day working with my patients, I could come home and be a better mom.
Yeah.
I was experiencing a higher level of accomplishment. And when I was a stay-at-home mom, I had lots of low-level accomplishments. So I'd have a checklist like go to the bank, do the laundry, get some groceries, clean out the blah, blah, blah. And yes, I was checking things off. I did get a little sense of accomplishment, but there was nothing medium or high level I was working towards.
Right.
And so now I really try to have a balance between those low level accomplishments. We all have to do them, get your car washed or wash your car, you know. Then there's a medium level that takes a little more time and energy. And these are the things that if you're a stay at home, if you don't work outside of the home, but they're projects you know you need to do and want to do. And they could be, you know, landscaping your yard, cleaning out the garage. There's stuff that it takes time and energy and you do it and you feel like, yes, yes, I did. And then high level accomplishments are those big things people do, like starting a podcast, like writing a book, like raising your kid from 0 to 18, you know, all of those things are really high level and it's nice to have a balance. So I started to learn that mm-hmm. I needed to add more high level and give up some of the low level. That's why I stopped making my bed. I made my bed every day for so many years and nobody even saw the
you're like, you my house. My effort. Right, exactly.
I started to add up the time. I'm like, how many hours have I spent making beds and why? So it's funny, during the pandemic, I totally got back into making my bed. I was like, I need a ritual. So that we've got pleasure, accomplishment, and exercise. And the C is for connection. Because as I said, as the bottom dropped out for me, I couldn't believe who didn't show up.
Yes.
I couldn't believe, like, where's this come? I had friends who never, I lived several years in this crappy little rental, grateful to have a roof over my head, but it was a crappy little rental. Right. And they never even saw it. Good friends. And I thought, well, maybe that's not a good friend. Mm. And so I started to realize that there's different kinds of connection and that it's so important because we're tribal people. We grew up in, throughout history had to survive in groups.
Yeah.
And so having a safe, supportive group, a group that inspires you where you don't feel judged or you don't feel put down. You don't have to act a certain way to belong to the group. The group just gets you and sees you and supports you from where you are. And so I totally turned around my support group too.
Yeah.
And so pleasure, accomplishment, connection, and pace and exercise. And I use pace in very specific ways. And maybe your clients who are really busy, will relate to this, because for years I was so busy. I was like, oh yeah, this is great. What am I going to do? Go tell my clients who have kids and jobs and they're already doing everything that they have to add all this together. So if you're a busy person, you can combine pace. Yeah. So I will do on a weekend, it's summer now, I will get a group of friends and every Sunday we'll go hiking together and bring food and afterwards have a cocktail together. And I have done I've exercised for a hike. I have done a challenging hike. That's accomplishment. I've had connection there and it's super fun. I love to it's pleasurable for me to be in nature doing that.
Right.
So that's a pace activity. You know, when I finally did the marathon, I did it in Paris.
Oh, nice.
I did it with my best friend. It was the hardest thing I've ever done. Mm-hmm. You know, so it was movement, pleasure, because I love travel. It was a pace activity at high levels on every single one of those areas. So you can creatively come up with ways to combine so you're not overwhelmed. The other way I use pace is when I start to feel off.
Mm-hmm.
So you get this way in your life, like you feel like you've got your routine and everything should be going well, but all of a sudden you're not. You're just irritable or it's not maybe even as far as depression or burnout, but you're just like, ugh.
Yeah.
I go through every single area and I ask myself, is this activity still giving you pleasure? So when I started my own podcast, Fix Yourself, it was so fun and challenging and talking to people and it was learning and everything. So it was stressful, but it was really great. After 3 years, it started to feel like a chore.
Yeah.
And I really had to say like, what are you doing it for?
Mm.
Is this something you want to continue with? And so every 6 months now I do an analysis where I take, pace things and I take index cards and I fill out what are all the things I'm doing for pleasure right now?
Right.
Reading, travel, blah, blah, blah. Put those in a pile and then accomplishment. What are all the things I'm doing at work? Connection and who are the people I'm hanging out with? How often am I seeing them? And what am I doing for exercise? And I'll go, you know what? I'm bored with this exercise.
Right.
I'm going to change it up. I need a new thing. And so that's a way to keep yourself focused in with clarity on, is this thing still working for me?
You know, the one thing that I really liked, I love pace, but the one thing I really liked about it the best. So I have a methodology that I call the 5 C's. And one of that is connection. Mm-hmm. And you nailed it. So many people do things because I heard, I should, you know, so-and-so does it. And there's no connection to it. It's so outside of themselves that they don't feel, like you said, that sense of accomplishment when they do it. It's just, I went to the gym today because I should go for 2 hours, check the box. Or, you know, I was told my kids should be in Girl Scouts, so check the box.
Oh, and gosh, that competition that comes with what other people are doing, it's so exhausting, isn't it?
Yeah. And you're not connected with any of the things that you're doing and, you know, asking yourself, do I give a shit about this thing?
That's right. Or are you hanging out with somebody because they pressure you into it? I developed a whole system. I had a friend who was pretty negative, but she always wanted to hang out and it would drain me. Mm. And so I literally, as I said, this year in my life, I became intentional about everything. And so what had happened before is she'd say like, oh, let's go to lunch. And it's like, oh, okay. We'd go to lunch. And at that lunch, she'd be like, okay, well, when can I see you again? And, or we'd leave the lunch and it would only be 6 days later. She'd start texting like, hey, can you do this? And I think, oh, so I started to use this tactic, because I want what I want in my life at this point, but I also don't want to be unkind. And it's not somebody I needed to set. I appreciated certain parts of this friend, but I started using this creativity plus delay plus kind of boundaries where I'd say, I'd bring it up at the lunch. I'd go, oh my gosh, I've got this crazy thing happening at work for the next 2 months, but I definitely want to see you again. So, you know, and I put it out 3 months. So in September, right, on the 17th, can we do this again? Okay. We already have something on the calendar. Now, if she texts me 6 days later, it's, and I'm, oops, remember I told you,
right,
I'm see you in September, you know? So I started getting really intentional with just also realizing, trying to have compassion, you know, that,
yeah,
life is tough for everybody, you know? And anyway, so it literally has changed my life, even though from the outside, you might think, what, she still works out. She got remarried. She still wants to feel good about her body. She still likes a nice car. It's the thing is, it's different though. The value behind the why changed.
Yeah. And I like the shift because it gives you guidelines. It gives you boundaries so that you're not this kind of like balloon out in the wind, just kind of going from one thing to the next thing and never feeling satisfaction.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. Like with those cards, so that it's interesting. So, cause people are so busy. So once I do all those cards, I learned this from a coach I worked with a while ago, and he would make me take, so once I did a brain dump for pleasure, accomplishment, connection exercise, he didn't have me say it under pace. He just said, I want you to dump everything you have to do, you want to do, and that you do into these index cards. And then you're allowed to do 10 of them. So you can pick 10 cards at a time in a 6-month period, and you have, and put them in a pyramid. What's the top card that you're going to spend the most time on? Because if you put yoga up there, that's fine, but you can't, then yoga is going to be the main thing in your life.
Then you can't run a marathon.
No, that's right. And if it's not yoga, if it's work, okay, well then your week looks different. So the top card is your top priority that you have clarity about, that you want to do. The two under that are the next two biggest. So maybe you have family as your top card, but under that, like building my business and training for, a 5K. Under that, three things. And then under that, four things. Because the truth is, most people are trying to do 20 or 30 things and they're doing them half-assed.
Yeah.
Doing 10 things well is a whole different ballgame. And maybe you do have to stop doing something that's meaningful to you. You might not be able to do your lawn, even if you love doing lawn work, if you decide I want to write a book.
Right.
You can't do your lawn. You can't see your friends as much. You can't but have some clarity, because that's the way you run your life. Before, I think my life just kind of ran me.
Yeah. And I think, you nailed it right there. I think so many people, we just get caught in our the riptide, if you will, of our life. And we don't even know how to, when a riptide comes, they say, just swim along the shore. So right. Many of us are just so caught up in like the swirl, we don't know that we're being dragged out to sea. We don't know that it's all, like, I have the power to just lift my head and swim along the shore.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so true. Like looking back before, I lost everything, it was such a shock to me when it happened. And looking back now, it's like, how did you not know that was on the verge of happening at all times?
But also, you didn't want to see it. Right. We all want to give someone else the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, that's true. And it's also one of those things where one of the major lessons was that I tried for a long time to control somebody else.
Yeah.
So I thought, like, if I make this home look a certain way, and if I have dinner ready, and if I make things really nice, then my ex-husband wouldn't use. And I remember this therapist saying to me clear as day, he said, Shannon, he didn't use because you weren't enough. He used because he was an addict. And right. It was like, so often. And now I really think that female empowerment has to do with never always taking responsibility. Take more responsibility than you even think you deserve. Because, and I rarely use the word luck. I mean, so often women will say like, oh, I'm really lucky. Really? Are you really lucky, or have you been getting up early and doing the work? Have you been the person? I used to say that my health and fitness, I was really lucky because the people in my family, for the most part, are overweight. Everybody in my family is overweight. And they've all told me that, oh, you're so lucky, Shin. You're so lucky. Your metabolism, you're this, you're that. And I was in New York with my family about 6 years ago. This is when I had decided I really wanted to start the podcast, maybe write a book, do all this stuff. And I'm in the park and I'm running, and I physically stopped. And I was like, wait a minute. Everyone else is asleep in the hotel.
Yeah.
Everyone else is always asleep in the hotel. I get to New York. I'm so excited to run in Central Park because it's such a beautiful park.
Right.
But that's not luck. I'm not lucky because I do the work. Just because you enjoy something doesn't mean it's not work.
Right.
So, for women and for me, it really helped to stop going like, oh, my life fell apart because I married an addict. No, my life fell apart because I ignored the fact that he was an addict because I wanted to have the nice things and be married to a surgeon and have kids before I was a certain age. So I made questionable, you know, decisions. And nobody who has kids is ever going to say, I wish I hadn't done that, because I have my kids. I wouldn't go back in time and not have them. But look, I take full responsibility. I knew he struggled with addiction and I married him. So that's on me.
Right. And, you know, I think also you also hit on a good point, is that taking personal responsibility is a radical concept for a lot of people, right? You know, we think that everything is outside of us, you know, that, or I take it all on and I'm like, you know, if I were a better wife, I could have stopped him from, you know, drinking or drugs or chasing other women or blah, whatever the thing it was, the vice that your partner chose. If I were better, or if, you know, I did this or that, we take it on, or it was him, not me. And you just kind of,
right,
don't take any ownership in it. Where at the same time, you're like you said, you know, I signed up, like I joined the course. And
right. Well, I chose to learn those lessons, and I needed to learn those lessons, and I needed to have a radical shift about what, it's funny because I'm really into values work right now. I've been studying a branch of psychology called ACT. It's acceptance and commitment therapy. I actually did a podcast with a woman who wrote a book on ACT. And so I started studying it. And it's just this incredible, incredible therapy that helps a lot of people with anxiety and any avoidance disorders. But one of the things about ACT is really accepting things as they are, and tying everything you want in life to a value, so that even if you feel anxious, you know why you're doing. It's a therapy that's not trying to get rid of that feeling of anxiety. So that's kind of a radical change. Most therapies are like, oh, we need you to not feel the anxiety. This one's like, okay, no. Do you have a value to have a community, but you have social anxiety? If you can anchor your value in community there, then you have you can create little goals so that you can create that community you desire. So we're not even talking about the anxiety. You have value. And so you challenge yourself. Okay, my goal is going to be to go to a bar and talk to two people, or go in my class and connect with people and ask if they want to study together, even if it feels bad, because I have this value. And I do think that there's this incredible power in anchoring your life to, so instead of anchoring my life to financial success, I've anchored it to safety. Now for me, that value is so crucial. I want to always feel safe, but you can see how it tweaks. So I marry somebody different, then it's not about the success. It's about who's going to help me feel safe. Because I think when women feel safe, there is nothing they can't do.
Correct.
Women who are safe feel motivated. They don't have too much stress. They sleep better. They have that motivation to move their bodies, and they can tap into their creativity. And that's those are the women who rule the world. I mean, is women who feel safe. So, but you can see, like, okay, yes, I still want success, but it's based on a different value. And I think it serves us all to anchor your, like, for you, health is a value. I hear that in your podcast, right? I hear that in that health, physical, mental health is a value. So when you have that as a value, Kim, then your goals can change all the time. But if your goal is to run a 10K and you hurt your foot, you're not going to go, okay, well, then I give up. Your goal got derailed. Your value is still there. So then you can come in at a million different ways. Like, okay, well, I'm going to eat differently now. I'm going to sleep and rest more. I'm going to do more gratitude work because I need to heal. And then I'll create another goal, or I'll get on a recumbent bike because then I can move my body without my foot being. But you can see what I mean. It's different. It's the same behavior, but it's so much more clear.
Right. I do like that, because it's values are similar to what we talked about, connection, right? Like, what do I want the most? So that if I think about what I want the most, and I do have anxiety, it's like, well, I'm sick of being at home. You know, I'm sick of being that this unforeseen thing is keeping me from what I want the most. And so I have to kind of break through that veil and say, even if it's for 5 minutes, even if I just drive by and look to see if that's a place I would want to go in, it's better than sitting at home and just stewing about why I can't.
Yeah. Isn't that such a great thing? Like, I so love that concept of just doing something that's so small, but that, you know, that we all have this line, this approach avoidance line, and it's different for everybody, but it's like, you know, when people tell me I can't work out, and I get that for a lot of people, there's fear. Like, I don't know what to do at a gym. I've never worked out before. I'm not in shape. I can't. But you can always play with, well, what can you, like, where's that thing? So you're a mile is too much. Cut it in half. Is a half mile too much? Oh, yes. Okay. Half mile. What about quarter mile? What about two blocks? You can keep cutting a goal in half again and again and again until you tip into approach instead of avoidance. And that's where, you know, like, okay, here's my starting point. And then what you're saying, it sounds like to me, is like, and then you just add a little bit, just add that 1% a day, you know?
Yeah. And as you say that, I like that. But, you know, how do you approach your clients who are like, oh, no, that's not enough. Shannon, you know, if I'm not going 100 miles an hour with my hair on fire, being chased by a tiger, it's not enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's like you said, I listened to your thing about Byron Katie. If somebody is driven in a place like that, there's oftentimes a fear there. Right? Because if somebody's in this excessive place, look, if somebody's in an excessive place and it's making them super happy, they're not in my office.
Right.
They're not in your office.
No.
They're not trying to change their physical or mental health. And so if they're in my office and they start to feel things about not going 100 miles per hour, well, I'm going to miss out. I'm not going to do enough. My mom told me, you know, we are a culture training kids that they can never rest. I mean,
Oh my God,
it is out of control. If I could go back with the wisdom of 52 and reparent my kids, I'd start again.
Yeah.
But you know, there's a fear there. And when you get to the fear, what would happen if you stopped moving so darn fast? You're going to find out that thing that they fear. And there's a lot of power in them knowing it and being able to state that fear and know it. And then they can have the decision, okay, you worry that if you stop moving, you'll die because your dad retired and died 6 months later. So right. You have an association between not moving and death.
Right.
All right, well, let's look at that. And so you could use the Byron Katie questions. Is that true?
Yeah.
Like, can you find anybody in the world who retired and had a great time and didn't die? But it depends on when people come to you with statements like that, it's always fun to find the fear because we all have fears.
Yeah.
We all have fears.
Yeah, you're right. Because I always say to them, like, you know, that's great. And I said, but I want to have you feel accomplishment. And when you have this list of 500 things, do you ever feel accomplished?
Oh, that's a good one. I like that.
Because it's like, I want you to feel like a winner. Because there's, as women, we beat the shit out of ourselves all the time. Oh. And we always feel like losers, not enough. But I'm like, if I boil it down to one or two, three things that I could do, I feel like a winner. And then when I start to feel like a winner, I start to feel like I can start to do more stuff.
Yeah. No, it sounds like you make it clear to them. Like when you want to do, it's like when we were talking about that pick 10 things.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have 20, you're not doing any of them well. So if you still want to do 20, that's fine. But you might be doing things based on fear. And fear-based decisions are not good decisions.
Never.
I mean, I literally was thinking like, oh, I'm almost 30. Like if I don't get married, I'm not having kids. I'm not, right? And that little decision made me compromise things because it was based on a fear, and fears, when they can ruin our lives.
And you're not alone. You know, I think about how many women have been in your situation that because you wanted to have kids, this guy in front of you seemed like he'd be a good father, but you never thought, would he be a good parent? Would he be a good husband? what when the in 18 years when the kids go off to college, will I still like him?
I know. And trust me, all my kids are going off to college for the first time in the fall. I'm going to have an empty nest. I'm thinking about those questions like, oh my gosh, what now? But right. You're right. Like we do stuff because we have sort of unrecognized fears, or one thing is more motivating than the other. And I mean, at the time, let me tell you, he's an attractive man. He's been a very good father. He was very successful. It was like, okay, so if 80% is great, and there's this 20% that's a little red flag over here, should I pay attention to that? No, I think I'm going to ignore that.
Right, because you're like, is it really going to, you know, since he's aware of it, clearly he knows it's a problem, and he's not going right. to fall into that.
Oh, and I'm going to be so much, you know, right. I'm going to be able to control that, so don't worry.
Right, I can help support him through that, right?
Right. Right. And the truth is we're both better people because we went through all that. And he's sober now and doing, you know, a great job of being there for the kids. And we're both happier with the people that we're with now. But I tell you, it's funny how when life really resets you, it can be such an opportunity to learn, you know, even in the distress, even in the stress, even in the panic. You know, I had this panic, like, am I going to be able to pay the bills next month? Am my kid, you know, and yet it was in that time of regrouping and questioning things that it's that, like, so much can happen. And I don't think people need to go through disaster.
Right.
Question and be intentional to say, like, okay, I got 8 friends. Are these 8 friends that are helping me live my best life?
Yeah.
Job right now. Is my job something I look forward to doing? Do I get up in the morning excited to go to my work and you know, and filled with a sense of accomplishment that I helped, did, created, whatever your job does?
Right.
Or do I dread it? If you dread your job, do something else. Even if you have to go still do your job and do school or get training or kill yourself for a few years, because you know, I will say my work now, I never feel like I work when I work.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed. You know, people are like, oh, you know, you work for yourself, so you know, you can take days off whenever you want. And I was like, and I was like, well, I was like, even if it was like, I did something for 2 hours and then I can still go on and do the rest of my day.
Right. Right. And there's freedom in that, right? So to do things in a different way than you did before. And you don't have to do a podcast. Like, what's the value that you have that motivates you to give free information, amazing information out to all of your listeners?
And it's funny, I literally about 30 minutes before we got on the phone, I just finished another podcast and we talked, and she's a podcaster as well, and we talked about it. And I was like, I couldn't go into podcasting unless I, one, enjoyed having great conversations. So I have to, one, you have to enjoy having great conversations, but two, you have to enjoy all the bullshit on the backside, right? I got to find these people to have great conversations with. Then, you know, I have to say, okay, I'm going to need your picture. I need this. Then I, you know, need to make sure that my producer gets all the information and my VA gets all the information. So it's not just sitting here having a great conversation, because once I get off the phone with you, I got uploaded and they, my fairies get involved.
Yeah. Yeah. And you got to pay for your fairies.
Right.
So you're paying to create free information for people. And so I got to assume there's some value that has to do with your business or with giving, or you're a healer or whatever it is that you do this.
Yeah. I feel I'm very value oriented. If it goes against my values, I don't do it. And the value I give is, like, I like to just have normal conversations that if I hear, you know, I go out, I'm social, and I hear women talk about these things, and I'm like, you know what? No one ever, like, there's no podcast out there that talks about, yeah, I could tell you about how many jumping jacks to do, but I don't tell you about, like, how do you have, like, pleasure, accomplishment, and connection and exercise in your life. Like, that's important. right? I just got off a call with how do you have better sex, right? These are things that people.
Ooh, I got to listen to that one.
Yeah. These are people that you don't talk to, or hell, you got divorced. What the fuck you do now?
Right. Right. Yeah. Been there, done that. No, I think it's amazing. I think that, and I love that your podcast is geared for women at a certain stage of their life, because let's face it, like stages of life are not all the same.
Yeah. You know, and I always, you know, I have a sister who's 27, and I always like, and there's always, you know, this huge age gap between the two of us. And, you know, we were talking on Monday, and so she's going to be a mom, and, you know, we're talking, and I was like, well, I'm like, now's your time to just like do. Like, don't think about like, oh, I'm pregnant and this. And I'm like, no, just listen to your body and just do and be, because eventually in you know, 6 short months, someone else is going to be their timetable is going to run your life.
So, so true that you can help her. I mean, that is amazing to have a sibling who can give advice and not be like a mom that you're going to be like, yeah, right, mom.
Well, you know, when she was younger, my dad paid for a lot of things for her. And we're like, she's working. Why are you paying for that for her? And she'd be like, shut up.
the surprises, the kids that come along much later, they do. The older siblings are always like, wait, he didn't pay for that for us.
Right. We're like, and she's like, shut up. But she also like appreciated that, like, we like heckle my father. And she's like, she goes, I never heckled. And I was like, oh.
Yeah. You know what I do love about this stage of life, though, that I think is so much harder for some reason when people are your sister's age or when we're young women is, and I think it's built into us as nurturers and needing a community and maybe just in sort of our historical DNA, is that we care so much about what people think.
Mm.
So it affects us. It makes us have more shoulds and want to look and act and be, and, you know, just, there's like, you know, you remember middle school where you want to be with those cool girls and everything goes into it. And I think one of the wonderful gifts of not being in my 20s and 30s is, and I, part of my language, I don't give a fuck what people think about
me.
I don't care if somebody listens to this podcast and was like, I can't believe Shannon goes on podcasts and I can't believe she has, I don't care.
No.
Take your judgment, go somewhere else. I am living the life I choose to live now. And, you know, if I could have told my younger self to give that up earlier, it is a place that is so freeing when you can say, what do I want to do, without the thought in your mind, they might judge me. They might not approve. And I just think it's so awful, those shoulds and that wanting to belong. There are people who want to be with you. I don't care who you are. There's a community that will make you feel loved and seen and lifted. And if the people that you want to approve of you aren't doing that already, then do not give them one bit of your energy.
Yeah, I agree 100% that, you know, I'm hoping that by the time we hit our 40s, that we realize that, you know what, some people aren't meant to be in your life. And if people are still judging what you do, unless you're like beating your kids, then you don't care, right? If it makes you happy, if it brings you joy, rock on with your bad self.
Right. Right. I do think that. And I will say, I know there's one other thing that I've learned that I think for your community, I just wanted to share, because it was an interesting switch of a frame of reference for me, which is, you know, so many of my clients would come into me over the years and I would say, you know, I want you to add these things to your life. You don't have movement in your life. Let's start movement. Movement heals depression. You've got depression. Let's go. And they say, oh, I just don't have the time. I literally don't have the time. And I will tell you that I can find time in anyone's calendar. If you give me your calendar, I'm going to find, because I know you look on Sunday morning when your little phone sends you your how many hours you were on your phone last week, right?
Right.
So the real issue, but I know what people are, they're not lying. What they're saying is, oh, yes, you're right. I do have that 1 hour of the day, but what I don't have is energy.
Right. Energy, or I don't value, even though I complain about it all the damn time, I don't value it enough to make that change.
Right. Right. So there's a lot of things you can do. What you're saying is, yeah, you can make a clear value and mm-hmm. that will aid you in the motivation. For me, I often also have people do an energy evaluation. And you use an analogy in one of your podcasts about a vase and rocks and sand and all that.
Yeah.
It's funny because I use a similar thing, but I tell people, like, when you wake up after a good night of sleep, think about a measuring cup and it's sort of half full of water because you just got a good night of sleep. Everything you do during the day, see if you feel like you have more energy or less energy. So if you eat bacon and eggs, do you feel great or do you feel a little sluggish? I feel a little sluggish if I eat a heavy breakfast like that. So then you have to decide, is it Saturday I want to be sluggish because I'm not doing much today? Or is it Tuesday I got a lot to get done, so maybe I'm going to have a smoothie. Oh, I had a smoothie, my energy level went up. I worked out. Okay, did you get or lose energy from working out? If I run 3 miles, I get energy. If I run 8, sorry, need a nap. So it's this analysis that you can do all day. And then you can intentionally say to yourself, show up with energy when you want energy, or calm and I'm going to take a 2 o'clock siesta today if you don't, because you're going to choose power foods if you have a day you need more energy. You can stand up and dance for one song for 2 or 3 minutes. It will give you a bump like you can't believe. So playing with energy is one of those things where, when I have people, literally everything you do all day, watch. Because at the end of the day, you want that water gone. You want to lay your head down and go to sleep. You don't want it gone at 3 p.m.
Right.
It's gone at 3 p.m. Look at what you ate. Look at what you did. Look at whether you moved or not. And create a balance for you, for your body, for your life, that isn't about shoulds from other people. Oh, you should work out 45 minutes a day. Okay, well, 45 minutes a day might exhaust you.
Right, exactly.
Or you might like 2 hours. I don't know, but it's one of those things where you have to do an analysis for you in the current state that you are. And then you can find the energy, which is so much better than finding the time. We can all find the time. I think we know that.
Yeah.
You can watch one less show and get up half an hour earlier and there's your exercise done.
Right. I always, when you talk about it, it's like, does it bring you joy, right? Whatever you're doing, if it doesn't bring you joy, stop it. And it's not like the Marie Kondo thing, like hold it and bring it to your chest. nothing like that. But if it's like, if it feels like a grind, it's going to be a grind.
That's right. I mean, drop the mic right there. If it brings you joy. Yeah.
Yeah. So this has been absolutely fabulous. And I'm hoping that someone listening, okay, multiple someone's listening, is hearing this message. And you're asking yourself, as we went through those 4 steps, like, what's missing, right? Are you missing pleasure? Are you missing accomplishment? Are you missing connection? And are you missing exercise? And if we were to, say for the next, 30 days, if you were to focus on one of them, what would it be? All right. And it's not like a job interview where it's like, if you could be an animal, what would you be? Right. It's like, this is your life. Like in my head, I'm always like, the answer should be just cheetah. Like, I don't know why. I've never been asked that question, but I'm like, if I'm ever asked it, I'm going to say cheetah. Cause I'm like, if I said I want to be a house cat, I don't know if that would give me this.
No, cheetah. I love it. I love it. I think we can feel you from that. And I love the concept that you're saying, like, what are you missing? And add it, because, people who focus on dieting are depriving themselves, right? And nobody likes to feel deprived. We're saying add something that feels like joy. If you don't have enough pleasure, add 10, 15 minutes of pleasure a day. Just add something. It won't feel like deprivation and your happiness will go up.
Yeah. And, I'm more, like you said, dieting, whenever it thinks about losing weight, it's like, what are the things I have to give up? And it's usually things that you like, maybe you like wine. Well, I'm never going to take away someone's wine. Now, if you're drinking a bottle a day, it's a very different conversation, but I'm never going to take away a glass of wine. If that's how you connect with your partner, if that's how you connect with friends, I'm never going to take that away, but I'm going to say, can you just have a glass? And like, let's see what goes there. Or I'd rather be like, let's add something in. Okay, have that glass of wine, but make sure you have a salad.
Right. Right.
So that we find this, you know, the balance, we find pace in our life, right? That we're always not like either going balls to the wall or starving.
I hear you. I love it. I love your message.
Yeah. It's when I find people who like have such like synergy, it's just like, oh my God, it's like, you know, the magic, you know, I found Oz, right? And the wizard is really the wizard. He's not just some old guy in a wizard thing.
That's right. That's right.
So I want to thank you so much for coming. Where can people find you on the socials?
So I will say I have not been active lately because I was feeling stressed out. But on Instagram, I'm at the Happiness Gain. And I'm at S. Connery PhD on Twitter and Facebook. And I've taken a break from posting because I just needed to regroup and feel inspired. And so I have lots of content there already. So people want to follow me. But if you look, why isn't she active lately? It's because I didn't feel like it. Wasn't bringing me pleasure.
Yeah, no. And I always tell people that, you know, from time to time, sometimes I need to take a break. And from time to time, I'm like, I'm on there all the time. And sometimes I'm like, yeah, I need a week or two to just do me.
I assure you that people, unless you're some huge person, people don't miss us when we're not posting.
And even if you're a Kardashian, people are, I'm like, people find a hobby.
Yeah. Very true. Very true. So yes, but please do follow me. I follow people back. I love learning. Learning is such a core value of mine that, yes, love to connect with people in your audience. If anybody has any questions or just wants to, go on my website is shannonconnery.com. People can email me shannon@shannonconnery.com. My coaching and my practice is full right now, but you know, every so often spots open up, so you never know. But and I have a podcast, Fix Yourself with Shannon Connery. So I have lots of content on there to learn from. Just lots of personal. You want to hear a crazy story? Listen to some of my solo ones. You want to hear them on different topics: sleep, movement. I recently interviewed Kelly McGonigal. She has a TED Talk with 25 million hits. She's just amazing. Lots of good stuff. So please, if this resonates with anyone, come join the community. And I promise I'll get back involved in it sometime soon.
Awesome. So again, thank you so much. Connect with her. I mean, if you're someone who's feeling like you're out of sorts, you know, enroll in her PACE program. It's self-directed. So don't feel like, you know, you have to like hop in and tell everyone all your business. You do not.
I totally forgot about that. On Teachable, I do have the PACE Academy and people love it. I talk about all these topics, but in much further detail. And it comes with a planner and everything. So Teachable, PACE Academy. If your listeners email me, I'll get them a code. They can get it up for a huge discount because it's been out now for a while. So
Awesome. Again, thank you so much. I've thoroughly enjoyed our conversation and I hope my magic makers have enjoyed it as well.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I've really, really enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you for listening to the Fit Girl Magic podcast. If you've made it this far, yay. I'm thinking you enjoyed the show. Let's continue the conversation on Instagram. You can find me at Kim Jefferson Coach. In order for me to keep sharing this message, do me a favor and leave me a 5-star review on iTunes. While you're there, don't forget to subscribe so that you won't miss an episode. New episodes are available every Wednesday. The Fit Girl Magic podcast is intended to provide you with tips, tools, and strategies that will help you make better decisions about your health. I really appreciate your feedback and your support. Thank you so much.